Aloha, my name is Jake Shimobukuro, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Famed ukulele player Jake Shimobukuro, known as the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, stopped by to tell us all about his star-studded duet album, Jake and Friends, featuring collabs with Bette Midler, Willie Nelson, Jimmy Buffett, Ziggy Marley, Vince Gill, Jack Johnson, and so many more.
Tell me about this awesome album, Jake and Friends, right?
So it started about 4 years ago. My manager, Van, we were talking. He said, you know, you got to do a collaborations record, you know, like a duets record. So I said, oh, yeah, sounds great. And he started throwing out some names. And I remember thinking, oh, it's a great idea. But in the back of my head, I was thinking, this is never going to happen, right? We talked with a longtime friend of mine, Ray Benson from Asleep at the Wheel, who's also on the record. He agreed to help produce the record. So the first phone call that he made was to Willie Nelson. 2 months later, we're in the studio with Willie and recording Stardust. And once we tracked that, you know, it just gave the project a lot of momentum and credibility. And soon after that, you know, of course, recorded Wrapping Paper with Ray Benson and Asleep at the Wheel. That was an old song by Cream. And then after that, it was Michael McDonald and Bette Midler, you know. So, and then it just kind of had this little snowball effect. And here we are today. So, you know, it started pre-pandemic. We finished it up during lockdown. So there are three tracks on the record that were recorded remotely, but the other 13 tracks were all recorded in person, you know, which is very rare nowadays. So they're live takes and kind of did it like they did, you know, back in the day, right? When they would record as a band or, you know, record together in the same room. There's a certain magic and energy that's captured, I think, when everyone's playing together.
This is like an amazing like group of people on this album.
Yeah, it's I always tell people it instead of Jake and Friends, it should have been called Jake and Dreams Come True or something, you know, because that's what it feels like. Yeah, I mean, there's you know, Willie Nelson, got Michael McDonald, Ziggy Marley, Jack Johnson, Bette Midler, Warren Haynes, Sonny Landreth, Billy Strings. Who else we got on there? Paula Funga. Oh, Jimmy Buffett. Yes, Jimmy Buffett. You know, Jimmy Buffett was one of the first, you know, artists to really take me out on the road, kind of took me under his wing, you know, back in, I think it was the first time I went on tour with 2006, shortly after the YouTube, there was a YouTube video of me playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, actually in New York, in Central Park, that went viral. And that's what kind of started this whole touring career for me. But Jimmy, yeah, took me under his wing. And for several years, you know, I played and toured with him, and I was a member of the Coral Reefer Band, and that was an amazing experience, of course, you know. So to have him on this record, you know, kind of brings everything full circle. Kenny Loggins, that was pretty amazing too, you know, being able to see his process in the studio, you know, because not only is he an amazing singer and songwriter and all that, but he's such a gifted producer and arranger. So to see that side of him, you know, that was priceless too.
Was there anybody else on this album that you've worked with before besides Jimmy?
Almost all of them I've worked with before, except Lucas Nelson was one that I never worked with before. And he was amazing. I mean, he's like a one-take wonder. You know, everything he plays is just perfect. I mean, his guitar part was perfect. His singing was perfect every single take. And, you know, the only reason we had to do it multiple times was because I kept screwing up, you know. But he was like a machine. I mean, it was amazing. Who else? John Anderson from Yes. That was pretty cool to have him in the studio, to hear his iconic voice singing along with an ukulele. You know, that was extraordinary. And so he was another one that I never worked with before. Warren Haynes, I never actually recorded with before, but we had it performed, you know, together. He invited me to his Christmas jam in North Carolina, you know, a few years ago. And so that's when I got to meet him. I've always been a huge fan. Same with Sonny Landreth, you know, one of my favorite slide guitar players. Well, and of course, Willie Nelson. I never worked with Willie Nelson before, so that was a first. But everyone else, yeah, we've crossed paths along the way, so it was nice to be able to bring everyone back. In fact, I remember Ziggy Marley a few years ago, he invited me to play a track on his Love Is My Religion record. So I got to play on that. And I remember he told me, hey, you know, if you ever do something, you want me on it, you know, let me know. So when we were doing this project, I was like, hey, remember that? No, but he, he's amazing. And, you know, and in fact, I mean, all of these artists, you know, the fact that they took the time to do this project with me, I mean, I'm so honored and speechless. I'm very proud of the music that we made. I mean, I feel it was very heartfelt, very honest, and it really captured, you know, a moment.
And there's three Beatles songs on there. Why those, and why choose the people that you played with them on?
Oh, yeah. So I kind of, as far as song selection, I kind of left the ball in everyone else's court, you know, because I wanted them to be able to record something that they already knew or they were comfortable with. And so, like, for example, one of my favorites on there is a duet between Vince Gill and Amy Grant. They did a beautiful rendition of George Harrison's Something. And that was amazing. I mean, it's one of my favorite tracks. It's so romantic, so beautiful. There's just so much love in that recording. Vince mentioned Something because we were talking about that connection with George Harrison and the ukulele, you know, because George Harrison loved the ukulele. So that's why, you know, he mentioned kind of doing a George Harrison song. And so when he said Something, he said, oh, maybe I can, you know, see if Amy will sing this with me. So now we have this incredible recording of Vince Gill and Amy Grant. It's one of my favorites. John Anderson chose A Day in the Life because a lot of people don't know this about John Anderson, but he actually likes playing the ukulele. When he was thinking of ideas for songs, he said, you know, I have this little arrangement of A Day in the Life that I play on the ukulele and sing, you know. And so he sent it to me. I couldn't believe I was seeing John Anderson strumming the ukulele and singing. I mean, it just blew my mind. So that was really cool. Ziggy Marley, we decided on All You Need Is Love because that was something that he was playing in his live performances. I don't think he's ever recorded it, but in his live performance, he would do it as I think it was a medley with like Redemption Song, and at the end of Redemption Song, they would segue into All You Need Is Love.
And how did you get involved with the ukulele? You know, it's not like an instrument that I feel like is, you know, popular amongst, you know, the kids.
So I was born and raised in Hawaii, in Honolulu. And in Hawaii, the ukulele, it's a big part of the culture, right? And so we even learn it in school. So in fourth and fifth grade, we have Hoiana class, and we learn how to play the ukulele. And my mom played. So 4 years old, she sat me down, taught me a few chords. And honestly, I just fell in love with it. There was just something about the sound. And it was very encouraging because it's easy to play simple chords. So you get that instant gratification, you know, just immediately like, wow, I'm doing it. I'm playing, you know. And I think that's what really motivated me and kept me so interested and engaged, right? So yeah, my mom was the one who first got me into it. But in Hawaii too, there are a lot of really fantastic, you know, ukulele players that recorded records, and I grew up listening to a lot of their albums. So one of my heroes was a man named Ota-san. And he had, I mean, he's got tons of records out. But I grew up listening to his albums, and I would go and watch him play live. And he was such an inspiration to me because he covered a lot of different styles of music. I mean, everything from traditional Hawaiian music, jazz standards, and he would even have some classical arrangements for the ukulele. So I just loved listening to him because he was able to take the ukulele, and if you think of different genres of music as different languages, right, then, you know, he really made the ukulele multilingual. And so that was very inspiring. Even though I started out playing a lot of traditional music and just, you know, traditional techniques and things, incorporating traditional techniques, I started to, I had a fascination with guitar players. Like I would, you know, as a kid, I would watch, like I would see a video of Eddie Van Halen, you know, Van Halen playing. I would just be like, wow. And they're like just running all over the stage, having so much fun, and that energy really, it made me want to play like that. But it didn't make me want to play the guitar. It made me still want to play the ukulele. And so with that, I became very inspired by guitar players. And I started trying to incorporate guitar techniques and even incorporating like electronic pedals. You know, like electric guitar players, they use a lot of these effects pedals and they're able to manipulate the sound of their instrument, you know, plugging into different amplifiers. And so I became very obsessed with figuring out the best way to amplify the ukulele, because naturally the ukulele is a very soft instrument. It can't compete with drums or an electric guitar or electric bass. That's why it was so important to me to figure out a way to amplify the ukulele so that it could compete in volume, you know, with these other instruments that were very loud. Also, what I realized too is the ukulele is such a dynamic instrument, you know, because even though it couldn't play as loud as like a trumpet or something like that acoustically, right? You know, it could always play softer. So with certain wind instruments, you have to blow and you have to push so much air just to get a sound, right? And so your starting volume is maybe here, right? But then you can go all the way up here. So the ukulele, maybe it can't go that high, that loud, but it's here, but you can go all the way to nothing, right? So you can really increase the dynamic range of your instrument by playing softer. So when I figured that out, I was like, wow. And then it hit me, you know, because we always think about learning to amplify the instrument so that we can play louder. But I had an epiphany one day and I realized I want to amplify my instrument so that I can play softer. Because now by amplifying the soft, subtle things that I do that you can't even hear acoustically can still be heard.
You mentioned Van Halen, but any other musical influences in your life?
Oh, I mean, the name Jimi Hendrix always comes up for me because I love telling this story. And I think it's true. So Jimi Hendrix, before he started playing the guitar, the first ukulele that was gifted to him by his dad was an ukulele. And I think he must have been like 6 or 7 years old or something like that. And the dad got him this ukulele. And I think it was like a used ukulele or something, because what I read was there were only 3 strings on it. It was missing one of the strings. But I guess Jimi Hendrix would still play it, and you know, and he really enjoyed it, I guess, and that's why the dad, you know, realized like, oh, maybe he likes music, so got him a guitar, and the rest is history.
What's next for you?
Still, you know, we're still recording albums, and I'm working on another collaborative project right now, so just, you know, slowly getting back into the routine of, you know, of what we were doing before, except, you know, with a lot more gratitude, you know, an appreciation, because once we started doing live shows again, you know, in front of a real audience, it was quite emotional. And I remember our first show back, we played in Clearwater, and it was my first concert since the lockdown. So it was over a year and a half since I had played in front of a live audience. But I remember after that first song, and everyone just cheered, and I got really choked up, you know. So yeah, there's something about that connection when you're having a creative experience like that. And for me, I think when I'm on stage performing, you know, it's a moment or an experience for me where I can be completely present and not have any distractions. And to be in a concert hall or a venue, you know, whether it's 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people, to be in an environment where everyone is present and in the moment together, sharing, you know, a common experience. I think that's what makes it so powerful, and that connection. You know, I mean, there are times where you'd be performing, and where I feel like when I'm performing sometimes, I almost feel like we're with the audience, I feel like we're almost breathing together, and it's a really special feeling. You feel so connected, and after that, and that's why for me, after a performance, I feel really good, you know? I love it. I feel very fulfilled.
Is there anything else that we should cover that you wanted to add?
You know, like I said earlier, I'm just grateful to be making music again, and it's awesome to see, you know, so many artists and venues bringing music and the arts back into the community again. A lot of our shows recently, we've been their first show back, you know, so to be able to be with the crew and the staff, you know, at these venues, you know, just to see how grateful they are too, you know, to be doing what they love as well, right? Because, you know, the production team and theater managers and all the people who make these venues so special, you know, they're just as excited about it as the performers and the audience members. There's definitely a very intense energy, you know, that that you feel, you know, doing shows again, because it's like, I think we're all on that same page where we realize that at any moment, you know, this can all be taken away again. And there's a much deeper appreciation and a feeling like, you know, you will never take this for granted ever again. And that's a beautiful feeling. Here's one off the new record. It's a duet with Vince Gill and Amy Grant. Here's George Harrison's Something. This next song is one that I co-wrote with Sunny Landreth. It's a song entitled Sunny Days Ahead. Thank you.
sunny days ahead.
Oh, thank you. One more? Is that
sure,
okay?
All right. Yeah.
This one is probably my mom's favorite song off of the new record, and it's because Bette Midler has always been one of her favorite singers. And when I was a kid, she used to sing this Bette Midler song to me all the time. It's a song called The Rose.
More of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.